A few days ago, our business manager, Mike Remick, heard a man sobbing outside of his window that moved him. So he came out and he looked at me. I was sitting at the table working outside of his office with a stack of work, just trying to make my way through. And he says to me, "Reverend Myra, there's a man outside my window in the alley crying." And truthfully, my first thought was, okay, I have a ton of work here in front of me. It's apparently a complete stranger, and I was feeling a little like Jesus at the wedding feast when his mother told him that they had run out of wine. I was like, and what does that have to do with me? But as I stood up and began to put words to my thoughts and move closer to Mike, I heard it for myself. There was something about the anguish, layered with tears, that I knew that I needed to go to the alley and see what was happening there. As I moved to the alley, I found a young man in emotional distress, and I asked him if he was okay and if he needed anything. He said to me through his tears, "I could use some prayer." And so he would eventually be invited inside, and we got to spend some time together that clearly God had set up for both of us, where the Spirit began to work in the connection. And as he and I spent our time together, I passed him on to Lauren and then to Aaron. And I realized that each of us played a role in reminding him that Jesus was still present for him in his life. And when he left, he was no longer in tears. He was smiling. He said he felt strengthened and cared for and seen. "A day that began as the worst day of my life," he said, "has turned out to be the best day of my life." It was Jesus at work again. It was Jesus at work again, reminding this young man in our world that he has not abandoned us, but that his journey of ascension to the right hand of God is still at work in our lives today and every day, whether we are in distress in an alley, at home, at work, or in the world, that we can look for Jesus to lift us up with him and send us out for the work that lies ahead, to live out his mission in the world that we live in. He is at the right hand of God. Often when I meet people and they tell me, "I want you to meet my right hand," what they really mean is, this is the person who has my back. And perhaps we even got that phrase from this passage. And so Jesus is trying to let us know, I got your back. Today we celebrate the ascension of our Lord. A day that is significant, but that can sometimes feel or be overshadowed by the Alleluias of Easter and the coming rush of Pentecost, which we will celebrate next week. Yet the ascension is a crucial part of our faith story. It's the moment when Jesus, having walked among humanity, taught us, healed us, died and rose again, and returns to the right hand of God in our text today, not to abandon us, but to reign in glory and to send the disciples out in a mission to the world, to send us out in a world where it can often feel like Jesus is distant, where those in power make decisions that harm the poor, where health care is stripped away, and where the vulnerable are often overlooked. And this feast reminds us that Christ's reign is still real and it's still active. Jesus may have ascended, friends, but he has not left us alone. He activates himself in each of us. In the first reading, we hear of Jesus gathering his disciples just one last time. And he blesses them. He promises the Holy Spirit to them. And then as they watch, he's lifted up before their eyes, taken into heaven until a cloud hides him from their sight. It's a powerful moment. Imagine standing there, watching your teacher, your friend, our Savior, the one who has conquered death, rise in the skies. You know, this passage of ascension has always intrigued me, so much so that whenever I ride on a plane, I always find the window seat. And when we rise above the clouds, I always look down at them with this curious heart, remembering this passage. Imagine the mystery of the ascension and how important the clouds were in Jesus' story. Clouds are a curious kind of creation, aren't they? They are one of God's creations that delivers us both rain and shine with a special ability to announce what is to come. After a cloudy day when the sun is coming, clouds will often soften at the edges, become shot through with light, develop a bit of a glow, and shift from soft gray to solid gold, parting just enough to let a warm beam slip through with a gentle promise that the light is never gone, only hidden for a while. So no matter how dark the clouds are in our lives or how distant the light feels, it's important to remember that it's only for a while. The reassuring truth is that Jesus is always present to us. No matter how dark or how long the night of weeping feels, God's promises that joy will come, it will return. Sorrow and hardship and struggle do not have the final word. And just as dawn always follows night, God's mercy, deliverance, will ultimately bring light and gladness again. Even as the disciples are staring up into heaven at the clouds that close in and hide Jesus as he ascends, the scripture tells us that two messengers appear and they say, "Why do you stand looking up into the heavens? This Jesus will come again." For the disciples, his ascension was about Jesus leaving. You may have heard the story of a small village where children gathered every evening to listen to an old storyteller. He told them stories of hope and courage, tales of how light always returns after the darkness. His voice was gentle. His presence brought a calm that the children had come to depend on. One evening, the storyteller said he must leave them for a while. "There's another village in need of my words," he told them. And the children felt a pang of fear and sadness. How will they hear the stories of hope if the storyteller is not there? They felt abandoned, as if the very voice that reminded them of love was gone. And as he was leaving, he said, "I may be away from your eyes, but my words and my stories live in your hearts. When you tell each other the tales that I shared, you remember that I am never truly gone." And at first, the children did feel lost. The night seemed darker and longer without the storyteller's voice. But slowly, they started to share the stories with each other. They remembered the way he smiled, the light in his eye, the gentle tone of his voice. They realized that every time they retold his stories, they felt his presence again, almost as if he was still there. One child who had always been shy began to tell the story of the sun rising even after the longest night. Another child shared the story of the tree that bent in the wind but did not break. And as they shared these stories, their fears began to just fade. They realized that the storyteller's words were more than just stories. They were seeds of hope planted in their hearts. As I read this story, I couldn't help but think about Father Jim, that his life is in this story of the children. His presence is not here, but his stories, they fill our hearts and they bring his presence to us every day. Amen? Amen. And so for us, in the same way, when Jesus ascended, the disciples felt that he was leaving them behind. Their hearts were troubled. They felt as if they would never see him again. But Jesus made a promise that he would not leave them as orphans. And he makes that promise to us too. He says, "I will send the Spirit, and he will remain with you in ways deeper than you could ever see." And so for us, it can feel like Jesus is gone. When we see the world's pain, when we see the injustices around us. In fact, there's a bill moving right now through Congress that could cut billions from federal benefit programs, including SNAP and Medicaid. This administration has passed a budget reconciliation bill that could cut roughly $700 billion from Medicaid, $300 billion from SNAP over the next decade. Cuts to Medicaid and funding to vital organizations designed to help the poor can feel like a betrayal of our shared calling and values to care for one another. But we must keep going. We hear the cries of those without health care, of families who are left in anguish because the safety net that once offered relief could soon be shredded. We see the worried faces of parents unsure if their children will get the medication that they need. We watch as community organizations struggle nationally and locally to keep their doors open when funding is cut. Our hearts grieve because we know that these are not mere policies, friends. They are matters of life and death, matters that weigh the heaviest on the poor, the sick, the elderly. And we find ourselves looking up to the sky like the disciples, wondering, where are you, God? Where are you, Jesus? You see, the ascension is a reminder that Jesus is still behind the cloud. Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still seated at the right hand of God, advocating and working on behalf of humanity. And he can never, ever be counted out. In the gospel, as we hear Jesus being lifted up before his disciples today, leaving them with a promise, a beautiful promise of the Spirit, he also leaves them with the ache of his absence. And we are familiar with that. It's a story that can feel quite familiar to us. And we too can vacillate like the disciples between his presence and his promise, feeling like we have to choose between them. But we don't. We've been given both. And when we see the injustice in our world and when our communities and our world face the difficulties of this present moment in governmental actions, it can feel as if Jesus has left us, as if the one who gave us hope and comfort is gone, as if we are left to fend for ourselves. But it is not true. I come to invite you to remember the story of the children and the storyteller in that little village. Remember as the children shared those stories with one another, stories of the sun rising in the longest night and the tree that bent in the storm but did not break. They felt his presence again and they realized that though his voice was no longer heard, his words had taken root in their hearts. Because they carried the storyteller's promise that his stories would live on in them. And it mirrors Jesus' promise to us, friends. When he says to us, like the disciples, I will not leave you orphans. I will be with you always. You see, the ascension is not about Jesus leaving us behind, as the disciples originally thought. It is Jesus empowering them and empowering us to be witnesses, to be the storytellers of love and hope in the world, to attend to the cries in the alley, the crisis in immigration, the worries on a mother's face, the struggles put on the LGBTQI+ community, the fight for racial justice, as Jesus missioned us to, because we not only have Jesus' presence and Jesus' promise, we have his trust. He believes in us to carry out his work in the world forward, regardless of the obstacles that we may face. We are the ones who will turn the new tide. As the children hung on to the stories of the storyteller's words and promise, we too must cling to the stories and the promise of Jesus. So when we feel that he's gone, let us remember that every act of compassion, every word of justice, every time we gather to tell his overwhelming story, the light of Christ is alive in you and in you and in you and in you, in each of us. So let's carry that light into the world today. Tell his story with our lives until the day that he returns and makes all things new. Because of his ascension, friends, we are not abandoned. We are people of promise, people of presence, and people of trust.